Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Way to drop the ball, Tara. We know whose fault this was.
Excuse you. Don't you go blaming tech support for things that aren't their fault.
Well, if it wasn't Tara, then whose fault was it?
Me.
Kevin.
Just me.
It was you?
It was all me.
Mark.
I am a Ruby character now.
I blame Kevin. I always blame Kevin.
I feel the like dragon. Salem's a good scapegoat usually for anything. Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome back to the Ruby After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Apologies to everybody watching live with us. We are starting a little bit later than our normal scheduled broadcast time. We did have some technical difficulties, so we want to thank you guys so much for sticking with us. We hope you're in for a good show. We love you guys. Thank you so much. So let's not waste any time. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Mark Donica.
The Camp Kim video has 420 views on it. Please don't watch it.
It's perfect the way it is. To his left, Stacey Shuttleworth.
I'm so glad Mark is here with the very important announcements.
It's so important, guys. We would never know these important milestones if it weren't for Mark, so thank you. And to her left, Katie Cullen.
Believe it or not, Crow is not our engineer tonight. We once again have Steve because he's wonderful and we love him.
Thank you,
Steve.
You're the best and we love you. And I'm Megan Salinas, guys. We are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag RT Reviews. Per usual, we've got you covered in the live chat. We want to hear your guys' thoughts on tonight's episode. And, of course, we want to hear all of the jokes that you guys have about our technical difficulties.
I want the memes and the hashtag.
Guys, we are, as per usual, we are following the community guidelines as laid out by Rooster Teeth. Guys, we are keeping the discussion to this episode. That's Volume 6, Episode 8, The Dead End. We don't want to hear any spoilers about next week, guys. We are being respectful to the people who can't. And of course, again, community guidelines. Don't ruin the surprise for people who haven't gotten to watch the episode yet. It detracts from their experience. So we ask, as always, please be cool. And you guys always are. So thank you in advance.
Or we'll ban you.
I was going to say, if you give us spoilers, we will throw you to the apathy. We'll put you in the apathy pit. But works too.
I'll just ban you.
I was going to suggest that we get Cordovan to sit and give them a lecturing, which sounds like torture to me.
That's worse than the apathy pit.
I could just ban them.
That's worse than the apathy pit, Megan?
It is.
Yeah, Steve, ban them.
So, yes.
Yes,
guys,
Camille, we can ban you.
You guys, if you drop some spoilers, you're going to get banned. That's just how it goes. Be thankful that you're not thrown to the apathy. Before we get started, we have a quick announcement for you guys.
Yes, After Buzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We are asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they are, in fact, optional. However, if, let's say, there's a problem with a stream or audio or something, and we have to go up at a different time, and you click that little bell, you'll know exactly when we go live, just for future reference in case anything like that happens. But knock on glass, it won't. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we'll thank you on air. But for now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yeah, you guys are the best. We love you and we love your continued support. And guys, when we say no other network works harder, we really mean that. Our engineers are staying late so that we can have our show tonight.
Yeah, and there's more shows after us.
Yeah. So be sure to send them your appreciation, because they deserve nothing but the best.
Send them Fortnite memes.
Derek Hogan in chat says, every time you subscribe, they open the gates to Atlas.
That's how we get through.
And we're actually really close to 3,000 on this, 4,000 on this channel. So help us out to reach that milestone. That'd be great.
You know where we want to get to, guys? Over 9,000.
That's a jump. We gotta hit the 4 first.
That's a long ways away.
You can have a long-term goal and a short-term goal.
We can't have over 9,000 until we have a Dragon Ball show. That's all I'm saying.
This is fair. You say that like it's a problem.
There is an anime show on this network.
There is.
Super.
Anyway, speaking of anime, I think we get introduced to some very anime-esque characters. Mm-hmm. These are some of the most anime-esque characters we've seen in the show in a long, long time. So, guys, we get stuck at the gate. The gatekeepers, of all people, are not letting anybody through. First, I wanted to gauge our reactions. Mark, let's start with you. What was your first thought when you see these two guards?
My first vibes were the Paradox Twins, I think is what they're called. Yes! From Yu-Gi-Oh! My immediate first thoughts, they're instead of like talking on top of each other, they're talking together. And they're guarding the gate, so there's a gate guardian. And so that's the first thing that I got. But I got them and Cordovan are like filler anime villains. So it's like, we only need them for like 12 to 20 episodes. But we're still going to make them annoying, entertaining kind of jerks, and here, have them.
It's going to be a spectacle.
Yeah, sure. A bit of a spectacle.
Stacey, what were your thoughts on these baddies?
They get to be fun because they're not going to last and we don't have to develop them. Yeah.
Exactly. They can be shallow and we can just hate them.
When they first popped up, my immediate thought was Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Me too.
That was the first thing I thought of.
That makes more sense with that other thing that people said.
The only bit that threw me away from that was the fact that we had those two earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was me too. I was like, we already had Tweedledee and Tweedledum. But yeah, I very much got that vibe from these two. Katie, what were your thoughts?
I have to say, Mark, I just ran through it in my head. Yeah, I still know that entire stupid Brothers Paradox rhyme.
Such wit!
Thanks, high school, Katie.
Such tenacity.
Sticking around.
Tenacity.
I know this isn't what they're based on, but this is where my brain went. If you've seen Blues Brothers, that bit towards the end where the FBI, someone is chasing them.
Every government agency.
That's right. And they get out and they just go, hup, 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 hup. When they went, like, that's all I could think of was Blues Brothers. And if you think about it, our team is on a mission from God.
Wow. Yeah.
We're really bringing that one together, aren't we?
I'm very proud of myself, and also I'm very tired.
Interesting. Yeah, we are recording a little late. Certainly. What sort of came to my mind, and we had somebody sort of tweeting, Annabelle Colangelo, Jello, and I apologize, I know I'm definitely mispronouncing that, but she sent us a tweet when she saw Caroline Cordovan. She has an Edward Elric gif in the hashtag, and I have to concur, she did very much feel like a Full Metal, like somebody who would exist in the Full Metal Alchemist world. Hmm. Somebody in government who's got an overinflated ego and, you know, a sense of grander power than they actually have in a very militarized setting where there's all sorts of superpowers and things like that. I very much got a Full Metal Alchemist vibe out of these guys.
Hmm. Honestly, I just kind of got a military vibe. There are people who are really good in power, and there are people who should never have power, regardless of how much or little it is. And Cordova is one of those people who should never have power. She's like Atlas alt-right, and it's really creepy.
She's at right.
She's at right, yeah. It's just the whole, you know, Atlas is strong, Atlas is proud, Ironwood's not a coward. We didn't say cowardice, we said he was worried. Those are two different conversations. Ironwood's not a coward, Atlas will prevail. I'm like, we don't want to fight, but by jingo, if we do, we have the droids, we have the men, we have the money too. Like, you know, come on, guys, really?
You know who she reminds me of in particular? And not so much in her mannerisms or even her aesthetic, because she is very much has a military aesthetic. Mm. But she kind of reminds me of Dolores Umbridge.
Yes!
In this, I'm right, everybody follow my orders, mm-hmm. and clearly she's a selfish person who has an overinflated ego. She's a tiny Dolores Umbridge a little bit.
How many more elderly ladies do we get until we have the Ruby version of Golden Girls?
Oh my god!
Can we not include Cordova?
She's a Blanche. She seems like a Blanche to me.
What would that make Maria?
The best.
Yeah. Why am I blanking? I don't know why I'm blanking.
I don't know.
Put us in the comments, which of the Golden Girls do you guys think Maria is most like?
My favorite, especially. Well, look on the bright side. Maybe she's dead. Yeah.
The brightest side.
Estelle Getty.
The brightest of sides.
I want to
coming out of her cage, and she's been doing just fine.
I want to drill down on how wonderful Maria is in this entire episode.
God, yes.
Because we got a lot of laughs out of her in this initial exchange, in terms of like, you smuggle one cashew in, and you're on, you're basically, what was that? On the no-fly list for life.
Yeah.
Which explains as to why she was on the train.
I don't remember who did it because it was in the chat for the previous event, but the person who was making cracks about smuggling cashews into the studio, and that's why it was shut down. I don't remember who it was, but I love you.
Shut it down!
It's Madagascar. Shut down everything!
It's a health risk, guys. You gotta go through customs if you're gonna do that. I did want to bring up, we come across, one of the sort of method that Team Ruby is trying to do to get themselves access here is by saying, we're taking Weiss Schnee home to her family. Like, that's what we're doing. If you don't want to believe that we're friends with Ironwood.
General Ironwood.
Cool. So, just let us escort her home. And Cordovan makes a very interesting comment. If Miss Schnee has finally come to her senses, we will escort her home. Which makes me go, we haven't really seen sort of what the press has to say or what tabloids are saying. Like, we haven't seen any newspapers or any news reports talking about the missing Schnee daughter. So I'm wondering how widely known do we think Weiss's disappearance is. Let's start with Mark.
I think Jacques hired a Weiss clone.
What? Like, oh, he like
hired a performer to be Weiss.
Whoa.
Just to be like, yeah, everything's fine.
What? Jacques would.
Jacques would do that.
Stacey?
That's totally believable to me. On the other hand, he's also really theatrical, I feel like. So, and she was a very public figure when she came back. He made a big deal about it. So I have a feeling he probably put the spin of the century on Weiss, like being, I don't know, like someone coming in and twisting her ideals and taking her away from home and like convincing her to leave. And just like, it is this big sensational thing. And that whole like finally came to her senses.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that one, because it seemed like Weiss being away from home wasn't necessarily news. And the whole come to your senses crack was, I really do think that he spun the hell out of that.
What I think happened was, I think that it stayed out of the public eye completely. And what Jacques did is turn to Winter or call up Winter and go, your sister's run away from home. Fix that. Oh, Mark, yes.
We're a little bit past, or we're a little bit pre predictions, but that's who I think settles this whole thing.
Ooh.
Somebody who over it in situations like this in anime and shows and whatever, it's usually somebody who has too much power for their own good, and somebody above them goes, "What the hell are you? You're the Coast Guard, like chill." So I think it'll be either. I don't think it'll be Iron Daddy, but I think Winter is a little bit more likely.
I hope so.
I hope so too.
I always hope for more Winter in this show.
Mm-hmm. I really do think the comment about, they put you out here to keep you as far away from the kingdom as possible, is 100% spot on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like that's also a really good assessment of Cordovan's sort of situation, her station.
You're useful but terrible, so we'll just put you in the boonies, like a box canyon in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, her loyalty has its uses and is an important thing for them to be able to call upon. But you don't want that too close to where you're actually trying to get stuff done.
Well, and it's we get some interesting sort of meta, but we get some sort of world building, too, talking about Argus's relationship with the military setup, too, because she might, this might just be her being her and overreacting, but she refers to Argus as being ungrateful for everything that the military has done for them.
There's a lot of mantles thrown around, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's certainly true.
Yeah. I think she's one of those people that thinks the South will rise again.
Ooh, I hate that. Oh, no.
She definitely gave off those vibes.
Oh, yeah.
And absolutely.
She was a kid that grew up at the time of the war. So she was indoctrinated by anything and anything that, that Mantle could have. She's a Mantle youth.
I mean, yeah, she definitely does seem to be like the equivalent of somebody who grew up on like World War II propaganda and very much took that to heart and carried it with them through the rest of their life.
We're going way too dark with this.
All right. Yeah.
But she is that kind of character. Yeah. And it's kind of hard not to talk about that with things being how they are nowadays. Isn't written in a void.
And with somebody, and speaking of filler characters, you have to hate them instantly. So they just go whoop, like super high up on the how much can we make there where they're in all of our main characters' way. Our new feisty protagonist is enemies with her, and she's racist.
Yeah, there's no question mark there. She racist.
She definitely is.
And I do love that it was Weiss, of all people, who went, what's that supposed to mean? Like, excuse.
Yeah, because Weiss, back in season one, if we want to hop into the Wayback Machine, was the one that was most critical of the Faunus. And obviously now her world has been expanded and her views have changed. And so, yeah, it's nice. It was a nice moment to see Weiss stand up for her friend.
Oh, yeah.
Then they got the gates closed on them. So it didn't necessarily help their situation. I did love Nora screaming in the background. I'm like, we'll never rest until you let us in.
Lovely to see you too. And just like giving it the old college try, it's really not going
to
work.
I did have a discussion topic here as to what we would each do to get through the gate if we were all given the opportunity. We did a little periscoping we went live.
We're going to put that up on our secondary audio channel, which I'll talk about later.
Yeah. So if you want to see those answers, go there.
Yeah, and leave in the comments below, how would you guys have gotten past the gate if you had a world-saving mission on your shoulders? Mm-hmm. We want to hear all of your answers because I for one very much enjoyed that discussion.
and just while we're on the topic, our secondary auto channel is you can find, it's across a bunch of podcast platforms, but you can find all of them listed at anchor.fm/theroosterteam. You can see your one of choice, subscribe there. That's where we have all of our Welcome to Veil stuff right now, and that's where we're going to put this 10-12 minute mini show.
For sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of announcements, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. It's the best way to let our producers know, those very hardworking producers and engineers we mentioned at the top of the show, that you guys like the show that we're putting on. It helps keep the lights on here, it makes us more searchable, and it helps keep us at this desk where we get to discuss all these fun things. So guys, if you haven't already done so, please rate, leave a comment, and we'd love to give you a shout out on the air. We don't have any new ones this week over the holiday. Oh, but
I do want to thank some of the folks that stuck around from our first live stream to this one. It's been 2 hours.
I
want to thank a couple of people on Twitter first. Charles Hockenberry, who I see is already in chat, thought they missed it. It's all for you, Charles. Game Boy Nate, Caitlin Geddes, Chris. Half the battle. I'm still going. We got new followers from a show. We almost got more followers from a night that a show didn't happen than a night that a show did happen, and that's weird. And that's Geary's. There's been too much over this past little bit, but also everybody in chat, Camille Anchetta, Puka Lucy, Matt Dixon, please clap. One Dumb Gamer, Joe Abrahamson, Sen Stevens, John Johns, Becca Lai, Stoic, Giga Derek. Mal's in here somewhere. Special
thanks to Mal as well for doing fan art of our discussion topic that we did on Periscope.
We got our Periscope got fan art, so make sure on Derek Hogan. Follow us on at the Rooster Team in case there are any more things like that you want to be privy to. Follow us on there. But thanks to everybody, Americanist Corazone. Thank you, Nick Roski as well.
And yeah. Stoic just got here.
Yeah, no. They were just like, I didn't miss it. Like, you have no idea.
Yeah, shows up two hours late without Starbucks.
Bethany Harris, thank you.
Thank you to everybody who put up with the still frame of me staring into your soul for that extended amount of time. So thank you guys
so
much.
And we almost ran out of our rations of Yorks and Reese's trees. I said almost.
Wait, aren't those Treeses?
No.
I hate you.
No, you don't.
And not a troll for it.
And so, again, thank you guys so much for your continued support. We love you, and you guys are all the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, getting sort of the gate shut on them, that brings up a very important point, because, guys, grown-ups always have the answer. Grown-ups always have a plan. With Ozpin here, I'm sure we'll figure out a way to get in contact with, wait, what? We have a discussion to have? Okay, I'm sure nothing world-altering or crisis-inducing will be revealed at that particular time. Mark?
Everybody was mad at me when I said, no, we break everybody else's legs because something's going to happen and they need to know that information.
Something did happen.
That this was triggered with Crow just giving up and going to get a midday drink because it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It definitely
Dude
didn't look like 5 o'clock.
He's a Jimmy Buffett fan.
I'm a Jimmy Buffett fan, and I'm sober during the day. Mm. So
I feel like Crow has been wasting away in Margaritaville this entire season. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's run out of enough care to get the shaker of salt. Like, he's in a way.
Cheeseburger in paradise. That's all I know.
Medium rare with mustard. Be nice.
I don't know that many Jimmy Buffett songs either.
What's the words? Mark.
That's all I know.
I only know Margaritaville.
It was just for joke purposes.
But point being, they have to break it to Jean, Nora, and Ren that, hey, so update. And they have to lay out everything that Jin told them. And this is where we finally get the last bit of the intro that we haven't seen yet. And Jean, very frustrated and angry, he takes Oscar and he throws him up against the wall. And he screams at him, how do we know it's not that liar talking to us, trying to trick us again? And we, of course, know that it's just Oscar. But whether or not Jean was out of line, I think is up for debate. But guys, he's kind of acting like a dick. So I want to present this question to the table. Should we break his legs?
Break their legs! We're not going to test the audio right now.
No, we make our own
sound
effects.
We're not
going to
do that.
We're doing it ourselves.
Can we do it in post? We can't. Okay.
We'll do everything in post. So let's start with Stacy. Should we break his legs? Yay or nay?
Okay, so I say nay. I think he was out of line, and I don't think Oscar deserved that at all. However, I don't think that his reaction... Well, see, resorting to violence, I think, is always inappropriate and not okay.
You say in our break their legs segment.
This is fair. Oscar didn't deserve it.
No, this is
resorting
true.
To violence is never okay unless it's in a weekly segment.
Of which there is merchandise available at tpublic.com/theroosterteam.
Look, I'm glad you guys all understand the nuance here, okay?
Yes, exactly.
However, like, Jean is still, he's a kid. It's understandable. I don't think that this freak out was completely unwarranted. He could have handled himself better, but they've been through a lot.
They have indeed. Katie?
The fact that, and this is upon second or third watch, hearing the voice go from Jean to panicking David is kind of the point where you go, oh, things are really bad. I don't think he's been at this pitch since season one. Like, it's hard to blame him. It really is. My vote for leg breaking is definitely Napoleon racist over here.
Same.
Not Jean, sadly. It's just, I feel really, really bad for him because life is really difficult for these kids right now. And, you know, he broke. I can't blame him. We all kind of lost our minds when we saw the lore dump. And at least he's still there and not drinking at 3 p.m. I would also put Crow on the break their legs list because you are an adult. Act like it.
Mark?
She just said what I was about to say.
Yeah, it's... I definitely... It's frustrating when you see a character get blamed for something that's not their fault. It's definitely frustrating, but it's definitely understandable, and we as an audience have had a little bit more time to process the information, and all the other characters, you know, who... Like, even Nora gets really frustrated. And that's a side of Nora that we don't really see very often because she's so positive and wonderful. Is seeing her go, yeah, what's the point, and get really angry is I think that definitely says, well, life sucks and we're going to need to process that. And like when Jean walks out of the room and she gets asked, you know, is he going to be okay? She's like, I don't know, and walks away herself. And like that... That, to me, is more surprising than Jean throwing Oscar up against a wall and screaming at him, because this also comes with the realization of what Pyrrha's sacrifice actually meant, like, and what Ozpin was planning on doing to Pyrrha. And yeah, that was Pyrrha's choice. She made that call, but, like, adding Pyrrha's death to the fact that they're up against an enemy you can't in their minds right now, you can't beat, like, that makes Pyrrha's death seem like it's in vain. Mm-hmm. At least I'm thinking from Jean's perspective.
Well, and right off the bat, the first time you hear it, that's the first thing, you know, I'd expect them to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the last time all of those feelings were getting dredged up again for Jean, he was yelling and screaming about how he was gonna murder Cinder.
I mean, so, he wasn't wrong there.
So it's not a surprise. I also don't think he necessarily needs to get his legs broken. Maybe a smack upside the head.
That'd be good.
Malachroma said, bruise his shins.
Also okay.
Yeah, just kick him in the shins. That'll probably knock some sense into him.
And there's also some conversation about Ren's reaction, how he was also upset. And again, back to Malachroma talking about the Nuklevi, that was explicitly an uncharacteristic moment of him due to trauma. If he's getting mad about this, stuff's hecked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the reaction as a whole was very surprising. It was a moment where you actually saw them fracture off just as their own group, which, you know, they had kind of melded into Ruby's kind of not control, but like
entourage.
Part of her, for so seamlessly, but we had that harsh reminder of, no, they're still a unit, the three of them that have to process that separately. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the experience of being told secondhand, also, I kind of wonder how that sort of filters the experience, because Ruby and their team had it directly shown to them, which is devastating in and of itself, and then were immediately put into a life-or-death situation, which, again, in terms of processing, that's sort of a whole thing you gotta work through. But Jean and the rest of his team getting told about it secondhand and then, like, not having your lives on the line immediately, like, that's just you stewing in your own emotions. Mm-hmm. And so, it's interesting that we have Oscar disappearing right after that, because that immediately turns the situation into, okay, we can't keep stewing, we need to go and do something. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they choose to help, you know, that yet to be seen. But what this sort of does is everybody sort of splits off, and Ruby, trying to get a hold of her uncle, goes outside to make a phone call. She can't get a hold of him. She throws her phone and realizes that she's not alone. She is actually in the backyard with Maria. And what transpires is such a fun sequence where, you know, in a season where we got as big of a lore dump as we've gotten, it's cool to still continue. Like, we don't get all of the mysteries about Ruby and her eyes revealed to us here, but we get little snippets. And I feel like, again, given how many lore dumps we've been getting in this season, how many answers to questions we've had since the beginning, I really appreciated this scene, even though it doesn't give us all the answers that we want. Mark, what did you think of this interaction?
It was nice to have all of this veiled in Maria backstory, because we need to be brought super up to speed with her. And I'm surprised we got as much as we did, but it was a lovely scene between people that I'm sure are going to be together for quite some time in the show.
Stacey?
I think it's nice that we have someone who is actually not a master, but at least familiar with this now. We're kind of beyond the point story-wise where we can blindly like work our way through this and try to figure out what those powers are. Through the trials of fire. Like, we need some foundation. So it was nice to have that foundation, and seeing it through Maria's eyes gives it an even more personal touch.
This season is just lore and lesbians, and I love it.
That's Loresbians.
Hashtag lesbians and lore. I don't know. Something, something. Someone will make a drawing or a shirt of that, and it'll be great. Yeah, I appreciated that we got this, and I also like that it wasn't, here's the story, in the way that we got it from Jin. It was, here's what I know, here's what my father was able to find out, there's not a lot of information, this is a lot of guess and check and figuring things out. I do like the, it made him worried, because if we were so powerful, why are there so few of us? Probably because we've been hunted. And it goes back to, my master wants you dead because of your eyes. And the bit about, that can't be right, my eyes activated while fighting Cinder. It's not just the Grimm. So there's a lot of questions about, what is Cinder at this point in time? She didn't have the functioning Grimm arm at the time, but she still got pretty ripped up by the power of Ruby's eyes. So what did Salem do to her beforehand? How far gone is she truly?
She's more machine now than man. No. that's a good point, because I was just thinking of it in terms of the Grimm arm, but yeah, she didn't have the Grimm arm at that point in time. Interesting. What did her fairy godmother give to her? Interesting.
And please, Clap brought up, I like Maria's, that wasn't a compliment line. Ruby is unaware of how high her charisma modifier is, and she's not using it to her advantage. That's a good point.
That's very
a very good point.
And one thing that Maria only after learning what she learns from Jin is able to put together is that there is a connection between people with silver eyes and the God of Light. Mark, what did you think of this connection?
Yep. I mean, they kind of laid everything out for us, so yeah. I don't think there's anything errant to get from it other than, here, we'll give you this one.
But, go
ahead.
Chat's talking about how Cinder used that Scarab Grimm to absorb half of Amber's powers.
Oh.
It came out of the glove.
Mm. Yeah, and then absorbed into her back, evidently. So, yep. Boy, that's a few seasons ago.
I guess if it was still in her glove, then that's why she lost her arm.
Or if it was in her back, or if both. Both. Both is good.
Why would it affect her?
Yeah.
Stacey, do you think that Silver Eyes was definitely a gift that the God of Light gave to humanity during its second go-around? Or do you think that's just something that kind of, for lack of a better word, is a remnant of when humanity was still connected to the gods?
I tend to lean towards a remnant, because I didn't get the impression that they really did anything for the second round. Like, they were like, no, you know what, hands off, we're not going there.
The God of Light threw Oz down and then went, I was never here.
That was it. That was my one hand. Like, I'm out.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if, I'm kind of looking at the opposite. If when he brought Oz back, he also didn't go, all right, who's got this genetic? All right, all y'all can now kill Grimm. because I realized when I left that I really didn't do anything to help, but that my brother's creatures are still definitely running around. And if we want to fix up the starter home so we can move back in, we need more than just that guy. So, eeny, meeny, miny, y'all.
The God of Light came back down, and he's like, did I leave my keys on the counter? And he's like, oh, here, well, I'm here.
One more thing, I'll leave alone.
Did I leave the stove on? No, I'm a god.
What do I need a stove for? I'm leaning more towards what Stacy is kind of thinking. I'm leaning more of it's a remnant, because there were... I keep hearing fans talking about, you know, humanity, bringing up the line, humanity came from dust. So I'm thinking it's, you know, dust is people. That's how humanity came back, so to speak. I don't know. But I definitely think it's a remnant of the world that once was.
Jordan Odell got to it before I did. What if Ozpin is the source of Silver-Eyed People?
Oh!
He's been living for generations. He's the one thing of magic. And by taking over these people's lives, he is kind of spreading magic in one way, shape, or another. He's, instead of directly giving the magic like he did to the maidens, it's all of the remnants of his magic that is going to his offspring that is then... Because she says it in here. Bloodlines. Specifically, bloodlines. So it's possible that Ozpin's past lives could have started it, and it's been diluting through the generations.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You bring up an excellent point. And there, whether it's through the children of people who, you know, Oz has inhabited those lives, whether it's through those children and those descendants.
And it's Zeusian. Mm. It's Zeus taking over a creature and making demigods.
That's an excellent comparison. Or, you know, there, if you want to go the other way, there has been a precedent set that, Oz gives out his powers every now and then. He gave out powers to the maidens, and he's given powers to Raven and Crow. It makes a lot of sense that something he might have tried really early on was giving specific people certain powers, and then just those powers got passed down through their descendants. I really like that idea.
That also means that Salem is going around and murdering her ex's kids / descendants.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean,
she murdered her own already. What's to stop her?
They did kill their own children, yes.
Yeah. On brand.
It might have been a whoopsie, but they did kill their own children. At least that's what's heavily been implied.
What the hell was that sentence?
I don't know.
It would be a whoopsie.
It might have been a whoopsie.
But they did kill their own children.
Whoops.
Well, gosh, my absent-mindedness has struck again, and I just killed my children. But it is reminiscent of Hercules killing his wife and children in a rage.
Yeah.
Which goes back to it being Greek.
A god-induced rage.
Oh, my goodness.
And then having to perform 7 impossible feats to get absolution.
I love how this series is taking a Greek tragedy turn.
So the question is the series actually doing that? Is the series actually doing that, or are we sitting here adding depth to it?
I mean...
Or rather, is Mark sitting here adding depth to it, and we're all sitting here going, hell yeah!
Yes, I'm on board.
The depth of the dab.
This is the theory I now accept.
Dab?
We all belong to the dab.
Ozpin confirmed for Smash.
Okay, but I'd really be down, though. Dude. And the final smash is just all the other forms coming in. It's like the Mega Man final smash.
We got Joker. Who knows what the hell is next? We could be Ruby. I don't know. Jesus. Anyway.
Video game crossovers have already happened. Hmm. Makes sense.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Oh, well, I love
that. We forgot
that.
To turn off friendly fire. Oh my Oops. God, Matt Dixon. Yes.
Whoopsie doodle. But during this conversation, we also get information on Maria's semblance, which when it comes to character introductions with Ruby, we don't always get the introduction to their semblance for a long time. There are characters we've known for seasons where I'm like, I still don't know what their semblance is.
About to say something that we can't talk about until next week.
I mean, we only just learned Ren's like 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
So
the finale was learning his semblance. That's how big it was.
So the fact that we get Maria's is pretty cool. And she gets heightened reflexes is what she calls it. She can sort of, it's sort of a sixth sense thing where she can sense something's about to happen right before it happens, and so she's able to react to it, which is cool. She's, it's kind of sad. She kind of has her own Sharingan eye, if you want to go in the Naruto comparison, but she doesn't have her eyes.
Nick and Annabelle are calling it Spidey Sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Yeah. I like that. That works a lot better than the Sharingan comparison.
I like how the Kruby must have had an early screening of Into the Spider-Verse because they made their Spider-Sona and put it into Ruby.
Oh my god, yes.
I'm still waiting on those Spider-Grim. Can't wait for it.
Oh god, I'll never sleep again.
I could.
Wait as long as they want to make us
sleep, please, Kruby.
Always.
So what's worse, giant Spider-Grim or tiny Spider-Grim?
Yes.
Did you ever see The Mist? You get both. Porque no los dos.
Please clap. I agree with this. I wish we got descriptions of semblances like what My Hero Academia does for quirks.
Where you
okay, but who's our present Mike in that situation?
Wouldn't it be Port?
I want it.
I like that.
We have it. It was the tournament.
Oh, either Port or Ublek or both.
Their children are present.
Guys,
Mike.
Remember when this was a tournament anime?
For like a season.
That was nice.
And then it tore us all to pieces. Along with Penny.
More innocent times. We get Maria's semblance, which cool Spidey sense. I really loved that. But something that she imparts onto Ruby is that, like, hey, there's not really any way you're going to be able to practice this ability. The best thing that you're going to be able to do is focus in on those emotions, and then hopefully you'll be able to draw upon those a lot easier the next time you're engaged in combat and you need to use this power. Because that was something she very much wanted to impart onto Ruby, is she's like, you should rely on your semblance and your own strength. And that's what's going to save you more often than this power, because it's not going to be enough. So, our protagonist relying on her own abilities, and she was getting more hand-to-hand combat training in the last season.
I mean, she's been relying on her abilities and semblance for the past 6 seasons, so it's not like she's new at that game.
Yep. And also, learn by doing, and throwing you into the deep end is the only way you're going to learn.
Didn't the show start with children being flung into a forest?
Landing strategy? I guess this should be pretty much par for the course then.
Best way to get that experience.
Do we have any final thoughts on this particular interaction between the two of them?
I loved it very, very much. Maria is quickly becoming my MVP of this season. It went from, who is that? To, I've had Maria for one season, but if anything happened to her, I would kill everyone in this room and then myself.
Accurate. She's really like coming in clutch on the moments where we need things explained or even the mood lightened or just some relevant information that none of our other like main cast of characters would have found just because they don't quite think like her.
They've gained their own Betty White.
their own Sophia.
Yes.
From Golden Girls, thank you very much. I like how this was the two of them, because there's no other opportunity for that information unless it's another trial by fire situation. So quiet episodes are great. Nothing can surprise you in a quiet episode with no action whatsoever. Nope. Nothing messes with your emotions either.
Nope. Nothing.
On a quiet episode.
I really liked this interaction. Mark, you brought up a couple episodes ago that we finally met our master, in terms of Ruby's hero journey. And it was really cool seeing Maria kind of step into that mentor position for the first time. We had that moment with the apathy, but like this is the first time where she's actually sitting down to teach Ruby something. And it was a really great interaction. Oh, what?
Like, it's also good. You have a...
Will Maria survive this season?
Of course not.
I feel like it's also really good for Maria, because we know that her self-image is basically in the gutter. she sees herself as a failure of a huntress because she gave up after, you know, experiencing a massive physical and psychological trauma. But I feel like teaching Ruby is also going to be good for her.
Yeah. Her father would have scolded her for showing off. And yeah, I mean, Maria's in the position that she is now because people hunted her down for her power. So Ruby needing to keep it under wraps is probably a priority. So I really liked this moment. And I mentioned it off air, but the colors in this season are so vibrant. And like the lighting in this scene was so pitch perfect. I really appreciate the color palette this season. It looks so bright and pretty, and I don't know why I've never noticed it in Ruby before.
Well, it's against the abysmal, snowy, white and gray, muted tones of the city, so everything pops a little bit more.
Yeah, I definitely concur with that. Whatever it is, visually speaking, that's making this season really pop color-wise, keep it up, Kruby. You guys are amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we leave this episode. Where has Oscar gone? Oscar has ran off. Where would you go if you had an old man in your head and everyone around you was really, really angry at you for something that was not your fault? Katie, where would you run to?
For a walk. Like, who cares about the destination? Just like, nope, gonna go explore the city, gonna go figure things out, gonna go just not be here. Like, did y'all notice when John went past him up the stairs, he flinched?
Yeah.
Oscar is my little baby, and I'm very, very sad that he keeps getting maligned by just everything.
Stacey, where would you go?
Yeah, he's been in some rough moments, but we've also seen him be very resilient. So I think, like... I think the first thing would be to get out and just get some fresh air, kind of figure out where you want to go. And then, knowing Oscar, try to do something to move forward, to help. Mm-hmm. Look for a solution.
Mark, where would you go?
I was laughing because Charles Hockenberry said, check all the trash cans. And that gave me a little giggle. But along Stacey's point, if Oscar could do one of two things, he can try to do something really quietly or he can try to do something really loudly. I think there's a possibility that they'll be looking around for him. The alarm for the military base goes off. And he comes running out with like guns, like, I don't know.
Is this anything?
Ducks up from a trash can and is like, I got the key card we need. Or like something. I don't know.
He's been hiding under a box.
He pulls a Metal Gear and he tosses the box away and like he's like dragging guys that are unconscious into lockers and just like shoving them in.
And he follows a man and it's just a pile of people.
All of them wearing those stupid white hats. I mean, they just lined up, so I knocked the first one over, and they went down like dominoes.
They went down like a house of playing cards. if I were in Oscar's shoes, and I was of the legal drinking age that I am now, honestly, I probably would look to see if there was an empty bar stool next to Crow.
I'd go drinking without Crow.
I know, I think I'd find the bar Crow was in and then go to the other one.
And then go to the one across the street.
Oh, is he in here? Great.
We don't serve your kind here. What do you mean, your kind? Kids.
Children.
Oh, that's perfectly understandable. I'll be quick.
That's right.
Would you believe me if I said I was actually millennia old?
Yeah, get in line. Just like kids with fake IDs and like three kids in a trench coat.
Bethany Harris, he accidentally stole an airship. We're gonna go full Mighty Nine on this one.
And they're like, or if you ever saw Jurassic World, there's one character who just kind of sort of absent-mindedly gets like shuffled around as being mistaken for different henchmen. Mm-hmm. And at one point he just pops up in a laboratory in a lab assistant coat and you're like, how did you get there? You were being mistaken.
I don't know what I'm doing. I think that I'm somebody else, but just get me out of here.
I've just been yes-anding this entire situation. Get me out of it.
I'm kind of terrified. Somebody please no and. I forgot how.
He winds up dressed as one of the soldiers, like, falling in line.
Oh, he's got one of those giant hats.
It's an even larger hat. Just so that it matches.
How did this happen? I don't know. Thank you, Malachroma.
I love it. So, yes, I think that that just about does it for this week's show. Do we want to go into some really quick rapid-fire predictions? Because, like I said, season-wise, that's everything in the opening.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
We got this! We got the sound. We are in uncharted territory for the rest of the season. So, do we have any rapid fire predictions, Mark? What do you think?
I gave mine.
Yeah, I loved it.
I'm good.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I don't have anything precise, but I think our solution is going to come from something unexpected or from someone unexpected.
I'm giving up on my crow is going to betray them theory, but he's either going to be useless or need a ridiculous reality check by the end of this season. Now I'm leaning on the Maria's probably not going to make it out of this theory.
Are flaming grim zombies not enough of a wake-up call for Crow?
Evidently not, because he just went drinking.
Still in the bar.
There were apathy in the basement. He had to be dragged out and watch everything go up in flames, and he's still like, well, that didn't work. I'm going to get a drink. Like, we're not allowed to swear on this show.
Maybe he's going to be somebody's sponsor. We don't know.
He needs a sponsor. Yeah, this is the whole, I need an adult. I am an adult. No, you are not conversation.
You need an actual adult.
Like,
now.
We need an adult to your adult. Thank God for Maria. And that's why I think she's not going to survive.
I think she'll make it through at least this season. But I feel like this season is... The big climax is going to come to a head with the military. And
Charles Hockenberry coming through again, because I laughed and then I went, this would actually be amazing. In chat says, pilot comes back. So what if the pilot actually comes back and goes, yo, let's go. I'll take you back. I have authority from the schnees.
By a bunch of fans. I love that. Yes, 100%.
That's Charles Hockenberry, but that's an amazing idea of like, but wait a second.
Charles, yes. Best theory.
That was like math meme stuff. Of like...
John says Flaming Grim Zombies is a great band name, and Malachroma says we're allowed to call Crow a dick because we called the gods dicks. That's not the word I was going for. You know that.
OMFing GUCs.
Yeah.
So guys, that's gonna do it for us this week. Katie, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on Twitch and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. If you like the reactions to these, they live on that YouTube channel. I feel like I had something else to say. Oh yes, I do. I do unboxing videos also for fanversation.com, so check those out as well.
Stacey.
Hey guys, I'm Stacey Shuttle. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttle. So you'll find me over on Twitch at InventoryFullPT. We play games, talk about games when we can.
Yeah, when we can.
Mark?
You find me on Twitter at Mark Bidonica. Find all of us at Theme Park Podcast, Party of Two, Wrestling Podcast, Wrestling Professionals. You find our secondary stream at anchor.fm/TheRoosterTeam. We did like a little 10, 12 minute, 15 minute stream while we were waiting for tech to assemble, and we're gonna put it up on that channel. That's also where Welcome to Vale lives. Please subscribe. There's also, if you want to help support us make more independent stuff, you can subscribe there with a financial subscription, and it would go to the team to help us spend some time writing more Welcome to Vale, because I keep getting ideas and then the events that they're related to pass. So thank you so much to everybody who's given us some support so far. There's multiple podcast platforms that you can follow us on. That is no way indicating that we're leaving this place. It's just a place for sometimes we have other ideas and we don't have a place to put them. Now we do. anchor.fm/TheRoosterTeam, tpublic.com/TheRoosterTeam, twitter.com/TheRoosterTeam, and me at twitter.com/MarkBidonica.
Mark designed some really great t-shirts for that
tpublic. And so did Princess Ponies 8. Yes. Princess Ponies 8 designed a break their leg shirt that everybody should buy.
Absolutely, 100%. It is the best. And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost. So you guys should check that out on iTunes and Podbean. Great name. So again, thank you guys so much. We will be back next week to talk about the next episode. So thank you guys. And guys, dust you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.